and welcome to Stories from the Bunker, the weekly podcast where we look at everything weird and wonderful, strange and possibly supernatural. With me today are Alex.
Hello there, Robin. How's it going?
Hello, Alex. Almost caught you off guard, didn't I?
I did. You did. Oh my gosh, let's start again.
He's flustered.
I'm flustered now, yeah.
And of course, Martin.
Hey, how's things?
Flustered Martin. Yeah.
How are things?
Fine, thank you. Thank you to all our listeners for tuning in. You can find this podcast on Spotify and Google Podcasts and Apple Podcasts, as
well. Apple Podcasts.
Yeah.
We can always say this. We say, yeah. And Apple Podcasts, iTunes, or
I always forget.
It's always the same. Always the same.
It's never changed.
Yeah. Mm. So anyway, talking of Apple Podcasts, always we say leave us a review because it does help us out.
Yeah.
And by Jove, someone did.
They did?
Ooh. Yeah. Ooh. So this is a review from Woo Logan. That's their usernames.
That's okay. A great name.
It's a 5-star review and the title is If You Love Mysteries. It's If You Love Mysteries, Conspiracies and a Wee Bit of News and a Quiz, then this podcast is for you. ! I look forward to this podcast every week and a few colleagues listen to it now. Also now, gives us something to talk about around the office.
That's really nice. Thank you.
Woo Logan.
Yeah. Woo Logan. Thank you for that review. That's really helpful. 5 stars is amazing.
Yeah.
And every single review really helps us on Apple Podcasts.
It does.
It really does. Spread the word. And thank you to our Patreon supporters for all of your support all these years. Your names will be on screen right now. There are far too many of you wonderful people for me to actually list off the top of my head. But also, last week we announced that we will be changing the name of our YouTube channel from All Time Conspiracies to something else. And a lot of you suggested alternate names, and they were all great. So please, keep them coming.
Mm.
But today, I want to go back to the past.
The
medieval past, indeed, and tell you a story about Princess Olga of Kiev.
Oh, okay.
So there's lots of Russian names in this, and I apologize in advance to everybody who knows I'm mispronouncing them, and to everybody who doesn't know, because you'll never learn anything. But so I definitely want to know what you fellas think of this. It's not so much a conspiracy, but it's certainly an interesting story.
Well, we're Stories from the Bunker now, so as long as it's a story, I'll allow it, Robin. So.
Thank you. So, Olga was born in Pskov, currently a city in the northwest of Russia, into a family of Varyag origin. Now, the Varyags are also known as Vikings.
Oh, okay.
And they came to the territory of what is now Russia, Ukraine, and Belarus during the 8th and 9th centuries. And like the Vikings at the time, the Rus people of Kiev, which is where Olga lived, were pagans.
Right.
Now, Olga became a princess when she married Prince Igor, who became the ruler of the Kievan Rus in 912 AD. He ruled over many tribes, and one of those tribes was the Drevelians. In the year 945, Prince Igor went to the Drevelians to gather tributes, and after he demanded a much higher payment than they gave him, they killed him.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
okay.
Not so great. Hmm. As you can imagine, Prince Igor's death caused some problems. He was the ruler of Kiev, after all, and his son, Sviatoslav, was only 3 years old, so he couldn't become king.
No.
So Olga became regent. She ruled on behalf of her son, which is very unusual for the time to have a woman in such a position of power, particularly after her husband has just been murdered by some of their supposed subjects.
Mm.
But interestingly, she had the full support of the Rus army, which suggests that they really respected her and supported her. And she refused to remarry because she knew that when she did, her new husband would become ruler and that would cut her son out of the succession. Because any future children they had would become king. Yeah, very smart. So she refused to remarry, knowing that she could rule until her son was old enough to rule instead. Despite this, many other tribes and kingdoms wanted to marry her into their ruling dynasties, as you would, including... including the Drevelians, who killed her husband.
No. It's not on, is it?
No.
And the Drevelians sent 20 of their best men to propose that Olga would marry their prince.
Okay.
Yep. 20 of their best men.
So the prince didn't go.
The prince didn't go.
They just sent 20 men.
Do you need them to be best men?
Yeah. Hey. Surely you'd want them to be.
Is that a pun? I like it.
It wasn't meant to be, actually. Yeah. But I was going to say, surely you could just send anyone. Don't you?
Yeah. Well, no,
you're going to send our best people to represent the prince.
Well, yeah. Exactly.
But also, you don't want them to be too good. What if she falls for them instead?
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Well, what if she does? But she's like, oh, I can marry the prince and have one of these guys on the side.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
that's what you want. If you're the prince.
I mean, they have just murdered her husband, so you kind of want to make a good impression. You'd want to send your best people.
Yeah.
I think.
Fair enough. Yeah, let them off
or something as well.
So, when these potential matchmakers arrived in Kiev, Olga welcomed them, ordered a large hole to be dug, and the boat that they came in was thrown into the hole, along with all the 20 men, who she then buried alive.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I bet they're wishing they sent their worst men now, instead of their best.
Yeah.
Here's the clever part. Almost immediately, before the Drevelians could find out that she had done this, Olga sent a message to the Drevelians saying she might marry their prince, but they'd have to send their wisest and best ambassadors to accompany her on her journey to marry him.
Oh, okay.
So they did. They sent all their best people after their 20 best matchmakers. And when they arrived, she said, "Why don't you refresh yourselves in my bathhouse? Oh. You've had a long, tiring journey." And as soon as they went into the bathhouse to wash, she ordered her soldiers to lock them inside, and she set fire to the bathhouse, and they burned alive.
Mm.
She sounds an extreme.
Yeah, person. I kind of liked her at first.
Yeah, I'm thinking she could have just like killed them all, or maybe dug another hole. I mean,
she could have, yeah,
dug another hole, but burning them alive. I mean,
what would you rather be, buried alive or burnt alive?
Oh,
God.
Would you die if you fell down the hole? Or
burying, would you be crushed and burning alive?
You'd suffocate slowly and be, yeah.
Yeah.
But you could choke on the smoke and die.
Yeah,
and the heat and exhaustion would get you.
I think maybe the fire.
Might be quicker.
Yeah, I think I'd go for that as well.
Yeah.
This is not going to be in my final wishes.
What do you think? What do you think at home? Would you rather be buried alive or burnt alive?
How would you like to die?
Let us know in the comments. Well, now Olga had removed all the best brains from the Drevelian tribe. And bearing this in mind, it's not very surprising what happened next. So Olga went to the land of the Drevelians again before they could find out that she had murdered all these people.
Oh, this and is she, so like far back in time, isn't it? I mean, there's no whistleblowers here. No one's posting on Twitter.
Exactly. There's no fast means of communications except a guy on a horse. And you could kill that guy before he got there. So she said she went to them saying she still might marry their prince, but first she wanted to have a big funeral feast in memory of her murdered husband, Prince Igor. So the nation of the Drevelians gathered with Olga and her entourage, and they put on a huge celebration for her. There was food and drink in abundance. Thousands of people were there. Thousands. And they all got drunk. Except for Olga and her soldiers. And once the Drevelians were too drunk to defend themselves, she ordered them all killed. And the Russian annals...
She red-weddinged them.
I was going to say, it sounds a bit Game of Thrones. I've never seen it, actually. Mm. I'm probably one of the...
Yeah, this is very George R.R. Martin, isn't it? You wonder where he gets his ideas from. The Russian annals say that there are about 5,000 victims of this.
What?
Yeah.
That's mad.
And this was Olga's third act of revenge, but it was not her last.
I think you've done enough for this
Also, you think of that party and be like, why aren't your soldiers drinking? Why aren't you drinking, mate? Don't drink.
On duty.
And
on
you?
Duty, mate.
Don't drink either. do we know how many soldiers Olga had?
We don't, sadly.
Because that would be interesting. 5,000 people killed. You expect you had
probably
a bit of an army.
You'd think, Maybe they were hiding. It's interesting. Sadly, the Russian annals don't go into that level of detail.
Shame.
Yeah, you'd think as well, like, there's, like, a big army there at the party. They'd be like, you can take your armor off if you want. We can chill out, have a drink.
Yeah.
You don't have to... why are you gripping your sword? Yeah. What's going on?
So, in the year 946, 1 year after Prince Igor's death, Olga travelled around the land, all her lands, to gather tributes, including the surviving Drevelians. Understandably, the surviving Drevelians weren't too happy about this, given that they'd murdered her husband over tributes already, and now she had slaughtered thousands of them. One town called Iskorostan refused to pay her, so she besieged the town. And sometime after the siege started, Olga said she'd stop it if each household in the town presented her with 3 pigeons and 3 sparrows, or 1 dove, depending on which account you're reading, as a gift, an alternative tribute to the one she was there to collect.
I don't trust her. Yeah. Killed all the sparrows and slaughtered everyone.
Oh, it gets better. Well, the town obviously was relieved that the siege would end, and this was a much less costly tribute than they were going to have to pay. So they did. They gathered birds from all their backyards and the ones that nested in their rooftops and the trees and their gardens, and delivered them to Olga in cages. She then tied paper, strips of paper, to the legs of every single bird, and set fire to the paper and released them to fly back home. And as a result, the entire town was destroyed by fire, including everybody who lived in it.
And the pigeons.
Wow. That's smart.
Very smart. It is. Yeah.
Although, you're taking a risk there, aren't you? If you're attaching a bit of paper to a pigeon, I mean, they could all be falling out of the sky before they got back to the town.
Yeah. Mm. And yeah, also, would they stay alight? Like, I imagine with a bird like flying in the winds. I don't know how many of them.
I think this is the part where we go. It happened, right?
Okay, it happened. Just drop it.
Well, it's funny.
She threw a few torches as well, like flame torches, and presumably
got the job done.
Maybe
she got the job.
But
done.
The bird sounds cool.
Okay.
Well, the very next line in my prepared statement is this story true? So, what do you think?
Well, I mean, is there what are the historical records for it? Are there any?
That is the best question. So the source for this is the Chronicle of Bygone Years, or the Primary Chronicle, which was compiled in 1113 from older sources. But the earliest surviving copy of this we have is from 1113, which is obviously almost 200 years after the events it's describing.
Mm.
And there are, from the very first page of this chronicle, there are known chronological errors. It gets the wrong date for a lot of things, which we know from other sources happened at a certain time. And there are some other discrepancies, but otherwise it seems to be a solid and unique and essential source for the history of the early Christian Rus people.
Mm.
So historian Barbara Clements thinks this whole story is a myth. She says it sounds too fantastical to be true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems to me like it's maybe been embellished.
Mm.
It seems like they may well have killed her husband and she took revenge, but all the different ways, it seems like the first way she took revenge was this, and the second way is very, there's definite highlights.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. You'd be right, though. She was known, like her reputation in part is built on the destruction of this Drevelian tribe, which is something that we know happened. But, you know, just the fact of that, you're right, may have grown into this much more fantastical story about fired pigeons.
Exactly. I definitely agree. Like, I think there's probably some truth to a lot of the story. Like, I think she definitely probably went to that town and burnt it down.
Mm.
But yeah, whether she did it with this pigeon tribute weird kind of thing, or whether she just torched the town to the ground, I think that's probably more likely. And then over the next 200 years, it's been like, you know, Chinese whispers.
Yeah.
The story's been told and embellished, and then it was written down. And
thing is, it's she was known, not just the Drevelians, but in the first few months of her reign, let's call it, she went around slaughtering people and enemies, not just anybody, but like enemies, the biggest threat. She definitely consolidated her rule. And we know this because her enemies wrote about it and said, Olga came and killed us.
Yes.
Yeah, she came and killed us. We got better though.
Got better. Yeah.
I mean, like even the second killing of in the bathing house, you think she wouldn't burn down her own bathing house? That sounds insane. Like, there's so much risk involved in burning something of your own down.
Also, do you know it's full of water.
Full of water. Secondly, until you just surround them, stab them, done.
Yeah,
works here in London.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah. It's just a waste. Just a waste of a bathhouse.
Maybe she wanted to redecorate.
It's not easy.
Maybe.
Not easy back then.
Maybe she was making a point, thinking in years to come, this will come up on a podcast.
Yeah.
She knew. I don't know what a podcast is.
She didn't just stab them. I burnt them to the ground.
Oh.
Alive.
She liked fire, didn't she?
Mm. Loved fire.
Yeah, I like fire.
But you'd expect that someone sitting around a campfire going, and then she
looking around, burnt them to the ground, looking at the fire. Yeah. It sounds like a little bit storyteller, doesn't it?
It does a little bit, yeah.
It definitely, it also feels like, you know, there's definitely a, like a natural progression to the story, mm-hmm. as in, you know, the first 20 people, she didn't even know, she was, you know, just getting into her kind of being a psychopath role, and she didn't really know what she was doing. She was like, I'll just dig a hole and bury them or something. And then she was like, okay, I'm gonna trap them in a bathhouse and burn it down. And then she was like, okay, I'm gonna get all these people drunk and then have my soldiers kill them. She was getting more efficient, you know.
Yeah,
more
efficient, like the Saw movies.
Yeah, exactly.
And getting more and more embellished as time goes on.
So I don't
what
know
can we do
that
shocks people still.
I don't know if that makes it more believable or less believable, but
well, there's more to Olga's story, which I think is much more believable. I just thought it'd be nice to kind of round it out.
Okay.
Given that, and bear in mind, even if these stories about the Drevelians aren't true in detail, they're certainly true in spirit. We know that she went and destroyed them in some fashion, and she destroyed other tribes that rebelled against her. She was quite brutal. So she died in 969, but we know that after becoming queen, essentially, in 945, she was still ruling in 959. Which is the earliest that her son, Sviatoslav, would have been old enough to become king. We've got records from other countries that identify her as the ruler of the Kiev Rus in 959. But it looks like her son kind of was joint ruler with her for the rest of her life. He didn't just take over. He kind of he let her handle all the internal politics, and he went off on military campaigns all the time.
Fair enough.
Yeah. And she very notably and famously created centers of trade and taxation and divided all the lands that her son was subjugating to Kiev into administrative units and controlled by her chosen representatives and set fixed tributes with a detailed schedule of payment. Basically, she established the first system of legal taxation in Eastern Europe, which is great. She's also thought to have built the first stone buildings in Kiev and Rus, in the cities of Kiev, Novgorod, and Pskov. She's a saint.
Oh, she's really? A saint?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So all you have to do is go around killing people and create taxes.
Kill enough people.
Exactly.
Legal taxes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Make a few stone buildings. You're sorted.
You're sorted, yeah. Not only is she a saint, but she is listed as an equal to the apostles. It's not just, they're not just a saint, but like the saint of saints. Wow. You're so good. You've done so much for spreading the church that you are considered equal to the original apostles.
So she was extremely religious, was she? Or?
She was very effective at spreading Christianity. She converted to Christianity during her reign, and then the rest of Kiev didn't. The Rus didn't like that. And in fact, her son was very uncomfortable with this and thought that he might lose power because her becoming Christian was unpopular with all his all the nobles and the generals. But she managed to survive. And she went to... at that time, this was before the Eastern Church split, before the Orthodox Church split from Rome. But even at the time, there were tensions. And she went to both the Holy Roman Empire and Byzantium to kind of apply for Christianity, if that makes sense. She went to both to say, send your missionaries to Kiev. I've converted to Christianity. And she definitely, it seems like she played a bit of politics there. And she went to both of them, knowing that they were rivals and therefore one of them would help her. And although it seemed to have had mixed success, the Roman missionaries who went to Kiev...
Don't tell me they got buried.
They didn't get buried. No, they gave up. After a few years, they couldn't convert enough of the Rus, so they went home, and on their way home, Sviatoslav's allies attacked them and killed nearly all of them.
Oh, gosh.
And we know that he did this because the survivors crawled back to Rome and said, ah, we've been killed.
Or everyone else has been killed, yeah.
Yeah. So right. She is, Olga, the bloodthirsty saint, is one of only five women to be considered an equal to the apostles, along with Mary Magdalene, you know, from the Bible, as well as Photine, also from the Bible, Thecla, Helena of Constantinople, are the other four women. And of course, Constantine the Great and St. Patrick are also considered equals to the apostles. So this is how important she is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what are your thoughts on that little twist in the tale?
Oh, I mean, if you look back at most of the saints, they tend to be either have done incredible things or they've killed a lot of people. Mm. Tends to be the case. Or they've done weird things. I saw this this news story. Well, not a news story, but a little piece earlier on that was talking about Saint Nicholas. And and you know, everyone knows him as Father Christmas.
Yeah.
But there was a story about how he had come across a butcher who had cut up some children and put them in a barrel.
Yeah,
we've spoken about this
in the
pickling. Yeah, the original. Yeah,
yeah.
Anyway, yeah, and it just tells us. I mean, I forgot that was on the podcast, but yeah. it just shows that sainthood, there are some very, very strange saints. It's not always what we'd imagine today as a saint, as in like modern day saints. Yeah.
And by the 10th century, which is when Olga was alive, you know, there's been nearly a millennium of social development and the Christian church becoming an organized institution, that it was a far cry from what the early Christians probably imagined it would be.
But, when was she made a saint? Oh,
1545, I think.
Okay.
1547. Some time later. Yeah. Enough time had passed, I guess, to attribute miracles to her.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's true, yeah, because to become a saint, you have to have performed miracles.
Yeah, I think it's three. You have to have three miracles or something.
Yeah. What were her miracles?
I don't know. I couldn't... I should have delved more deeply, but I couldn't find anything immediately. I'm sure somebody out there might know. Anyone listening, please send us an email to alltimeconspiracies@gmail.com or comment on our Twitter.
She just said, I'm going to make these 20 people disappear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Human combustion. Oh. Oh, dear. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Either way, sounds like an absolute nutter.
Yeah, yeah. Oh.
To put it bluntly.
But a genius nutter, you know, one of those.
Yeah. Yeah, if all the stories are true, especially.
Yeah.
Very, very deceptive.
So
very clever.
I'm guessing as well, you said she had kind of mixed success with embracing Christianity in that region. Mm. Like, but I guess in the end she was successful? Like,
yeah, her son didn't, but her grandson, Vladimir the Great, I think was his name, he was converted to Christianity by her, and then he made all the Kievan Rus Christians.
Fair enough.
So
fair enough.
It didn't take long. It didn't take long, but it was after her death, I think, that all the Rus converted to Christianity. But it's attributed to her, and she tried. She tried, which is impressive, because you'd think after all she'd done for, you know, subduing all those rebels, you'd go along with whatever she said.
You think so?
You think. I mean, obviously it's more complex than that. It's religion we're talking about. But yeah. I would be like, if she comes along and says, will you convert to Christianity? And I'm like, are you going to burn me alive? And she'd be like, maybe.
No, I just want a pigeon. No, I know that trick. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean,
there's a St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
Is there a Olga Day?
Well, there would be a feast of Olga. I don't know what day, but yeah.
There's got to be, isn't there?
Yeah, every saint has a feast day.
I expect so.
Mm. Yeah, and presumably she's now the patron saint of widows.
Oh, God.
Which...
I mean, she definitely owns that.
She did, didn't she?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what lesson we're supposed to learn from that.
Yeah. if you're a widow, never remarry. Just burn all your enemies.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how much more there is. I was going to say, I don't know how much more there is to say, but I definitely don't think there is tons to say now.
But that was a really interesting story, and it was a good twist to it as well.
Yeah, that was unexpected. That.
And also, I didn't know that there were so few saints like her.
Yeah. But have we got any YouTube comments from this week that we'd like to discuss?
Yes, we do. I'm not sure how much of a discussion they'll really prompt, but we can have a look. So the first question comes from the Ghost of Sabotage, who says, "What is Robin drinking? It seems a little strong." And were you drinking?
Well, today
were you
is
having
tea.
A bit of alcohol on the last podcast.
No, I've never had alcohol in tea.
So it's just a cup of tea.
It's a cup of tea.
Okay,
good old kappa.
Good old kappa.
And if we remember as well from last week's podcast, we talked about Nobody, who commented saying that he likes to listen to the podcast when he's catching shoplifters at work.
How was the response? Yeah.
He replied saying, "It does help catching them. Robin's soothing voice helps drown out the sound of screaming children and pissed off thieves." So there you go.
Why? Thank you very much. I love the idea that he's still listening to the podcast whilst he physically stops the shoplifters.
Yeah, that's great.
That's wonderful.
And pissed off thieves, people don't get angry if they're being stopped unless they've stolen something. So I'm glad it helps with that.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. Thank you, Nobody. That's wonderful.
Yeah. And best of luck catching those thieves.
I want to call
a thief. Wish you all the success.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you?
Wrestle to the ground? Or
no. In M&S, it was quite impressive. He had a coat on. He must have had some custom-made pockets because he was literally taking bottles of champagne and putting them inside his coat. And he took four. And then he was trying to walk out, and I just stopped him and said, "Are you going to pay for those?" And then he tried to argue with me. And I was just like, "Mate, you're stealing these things." And then the security guard came over and it was fine.
You said, "Are you going to pay for those?"
Yeah.
I think I would have gone straight to the security.
Yeah.
I think he'd been like, "What are you going to do about it?" Shing, knife. Then what do you do? I take it you're not going to pay for them. Goodbye.
What shop was that in?
M&S. In Liverpool Street, I think.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, in fairness, if he pulled a knife on you in the middle of M&S in Liverpool Street,
he didn't, so it's fine.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. It'd be pretty bold. Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow. You're a hero, Robin.
Not as big a hero as Nobody.
Yeah. Michael Carrillo says, "You should do Brexit conspiracies," which I just wanted to say, because we talked about Brexit in our latest Patreon.
We did, yeah.
Patreon exclusive clip.
Two-parter.
We did, yeah.
It was a two-parter.
We talked so long we had to upload two videos for it.
It was kind of, it started with a specific topic about Brexit, but then it just devolved into us ranting about the whole thing.
Yeah.
Not really on either side either. Mainly just about how much of a shambles the whole situation is. How badly it's been dealt with.
Such a mess.
By everyone.
But if you wanted to see that, then feel free to head over to our Patreon. I think it's probably best to leave it there because it would just be an hour of us ranting about
Brexit. I think so.
But yeah, just wanted to point that out.
Yeah.
And then one final comment from Spudney26. He says that the JFK quote question from the last week's quiz it was on The Chase this week.
Really?
And he
really?
Says, "Busted."
No way. I'm never in time for The Chase.
I was going to say, also, we've recorded it before The Chase, didn't we?
I don't know. When's The Chase on?
I don't know, actually. No idea. It could have been repeats as well.
That's true.
If it's on Challenge.
That is quite a coincidence, though.
Yeah,
I promise it wasn't from The Chase.
Yeah.
Interesting.
What do you think of The Chase? I'm not sure. I don't know how I feel about it.
I've only seen it once or twice.
Oh, really?
It took me a long time to understand how it works.
Really?
Yes.
You answer questions.
I never watched it, so it doesn't help.
Fair enough. Yeah.
But but the guy comes in afterwards and just sits there and answers questions.
And then usually beats them at the very end, and they go away with nothing.
The worst one I saw was when they were, it was for charity, celebrities. And he's like going, I know he has to try and win, but it was like so, so tight. And in the end, he did win. And it's just like, well, it's just 10 grand not going to charity. just leaves you feeling a bit deflated. Really.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, what a brutal. Yeah.
He's like, yes!
Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
And cool, I swear the questions that the chaser gets at the very end are so easy compared to the questions that they get.
Do you reckon?
Conspiracy.
Yeah. I don't know. I think you probably notice when they get a relatively easy question. Because you're like, that's so easy for them.
Mm.
Whereas for the celebrities or whoever it is, it's like,
that's true. Question. That's a fair point. Yeah,
maybe. Have you ever seen the film Quiz Show?
Quiz Show.
No. Quiz Show. Yeah, thoroughly recommend it. That is about conspiracies and quiz shows
and
real ones as well. Thoroughly recommend it. Brilliant film. Mostly forgotten, I think, from the '90s.
Fair enough.
Talking of quiz films, Starter for 10.
Oh yeah,
James McAvoy.
When he cheats, and then he says the answer before the question comes up, and everyone's like,
"Yeah,"
and he's banished.
Was that true as well? Was that based on the real thing?
No, it was. It's based on a book, though.
How is it?
I haven't seen the film. I've only read the book.
It was quite good.
I didn't know it was based on a book.
Yeah, that must be the film that made James McAvoy famous, right?
It was very
one of his earlier ones.
Yeah,
I don't know. I remember the first James McAvoy. Sorry, it's way off topic, but Last King of Scotland.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I was in that too,
yeah.
He's good in that.
That was good, yeah.
Mm.
Anyway,
I'm going to not do my Idi Amin impression. That would be bad. But yeah, on to something more current and hopefully positive. I don't know. What's your news item, Martin?
Positive.
Oh dear. Okay.
We're talking about stories. Almost said the all-time conspiracies podcast. There, the stories from the bunker podcast. This cannot be too positive. So, the news story headline is: prison terms under a year should be abolished.
Ooh, okay.
So the government has been told violence inside jails will only increase if the number of inmates is not dramatically reduced.
Is this, the UK government or the US government? Oh, yeah. UK. Okay.
Yeah. But I'm sure similar focus groups in the US have probably come up with similar things in terms of prison overcrowding. So they've said that prison sentences of under a year should be abolished to help combat increased levels of violence within UK jails. Ministers have been told. So this is a report by the Justice Select Committee.
Okay.
Okay.
So the government basically has been advised to change their approach so that people who serve sentences of a year or less to not go to prison, to not have a jail sentence.
Right.
Now, I'd be interested to get your initial thoughts on this, because of course there's more detail. But what are your initial thoughts?
I'm assuming they mean not to get rid of those current sentences for under a year, but to keep the sentences for certain offences the same, just make it 7 months of community service or something instead of 7 months in prison. I'm guessing that's what they mean.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just like, well, if you're going to do 7 months, you'll now do a year.
Yeah.
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 My initial thoughts are, okay. Mm. I can get on board with that. I think, like, if it's under a year, I mean, what crime would that be for it to be under a year? Like,
presumably a minor assault
or something, I guess, maybe.
Or theft
or something,
drug offense or something.
I think at a certain point you've got to say, what's the value of keeping someone just in a place for a year and then they come out, they're just more likely to reoffend, probably.
I think studies suggest that's the case.
But I mean, the whole prison thing is a really complex issue. I'm not even sure where I stand on a lot of things with regards to kind of the prison system. And
well, my initial thoughts were, what kind of crimes warrant prison sentences over a year? I mean, there's an exhaustive list, but sometimes even people that commit murder or even serious manslaughter offences can get, say, 8 years in the UK sometimes.
What? Right. Yeah.
And that can be then reduced with good behaviour to 4. So if you're having someone who was originally serving a 1 year jail sentence, they're not serving anything. It's like, what levels of crime would count for a sentence of under a year? There can be some pretty serious stuff,
that would
mean that you would have to serve a year in jail.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to open up my phone again. So the reaction basically from ministers has been pretty varied.
Okay.
About this,
I'm so surprised at that. 8 years for murder. Who's that? What?
Yeah, in the UK though, like a life sentence.
Yeah,
I think it can be as low as 12 years. I think.
What?
In the UK.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty low. So there can be some very very serious offences that don't actually warrant that much time in prison.
Huh.
Wow.
Sorry, I've got another
thing. That's all right.
Cut it out, it's fine.
Cool. So the Justice Secretary, a guy called David Gulk, he's looking at the possibility of scrapping jail terms of 6 months or less as like an intermediate step, with exceptions made for violent or sexual offences. And I was thinking, will that many very violent or sexual offences deem a jail sentence under a year?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's surprising.
Yeah. Mm. I guess, like, say, minor assault or, indecent exposure might get just a few months.
I would be surprised if there's anything really serious that would get under a year. I don't know what that could be, but like you say, murder for 8 years, that's insane. That's mad. Maybe it's just about rejigging the sentences that we currently have for like certain crimes. Then if some are being like, people are only getting 6 months when actually they should get like 2 years or something.
Yeah, well, it's very different in the US. If you look at their prison system, it tends to be you know, much more people are given custodial sentences,
yeah,
as opposed to the UK, where people are more likely to be given community service,
yeah,
or be acquitted. If you look at certain states where like even minor drug offences can carry quite a few years in prison,
yeah,
like
yeah,
even like possession of cannabis can get you a few years in prison.
What was the Rudy Giuliani thing, the policy? Three strikes and you're out?
Yes.
That kind of thing. So like three strikes, even if they're minor things, and that's like a huge jail sentence, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
I mean, I guess in the US, the prison system is more set up for private profits compared to the UK. So there's definitely more incentive to get people into jail.
Yeah.
Whereas in the UK, it's almost the opposite. You know, we're trying to get people, you know, the prison system is massively overcrowded.
Yeah. So I guess the interesting thing is, you quite rightly, Alex, criticize the what seem to be lenient sentences that our system seems to give out. But how much of that is because the prisons are overcrowded and they just can't afford to keep people in for a very long time?
Yeah.
So if maybe those sentences would increase if they scrapped all jail sentences for minor offenses.
That's true. Yeah.
Maybe those more serious offenses would get longer jail terms.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know.
And there's also definitely this balance between, you know, people wanting people to be in a place where they can't cause any more offence to society, but then society is also paying for them to be there through taxation.
Yeah.
So it's like,
it's true.
What do we want to for pay to people to be in prison or run the risk that they'll reoffend on the outside?
Yeah,
it's an interesting discussion with like prisons, like what is their purpose? Because certain people will say it's that like the prison system is to punish people for doing bad things, whereas other people think that it's to rehabilitate them and so they can integrate back into society. And I think my personal view is probably that it's somewhere in between, I guess. And it's very, very like dependent on the crimes they've committed, but like for something under a year in prison, what's the point in just shutting someone away for a year and then letting them out again like nothing's happened? Surely it's better to give them a job to do for that year and kind of try and make them a working member of society again.
Yeah, you're right. You think it seems more like if you're putting someone in prison for a year, you're punishing them. If you're putting someone in prison for life, you're keeping the community safe. And those seem to be two different or two contradictory uses of the prison system.
Yeah, yeah.
By our own legal system, the logic behind those sentences seems to be opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it also depends on the individual. You've got to look at someone and say, okay, is this person going to benefit from this kind of punishment? Like some people, if they'd never committed a crime before and it was a fairly serious crime, maybe a year in prison would change their life around. I know if we look at the stats, reoffending rates are very high for people that are in for short sentences. But at the same time, for some people, it could have been that one-off mistake of something that's happened in their life, and that is the appropriate punishment.
That is true.
The other thing is, a year is quite an arbitrary amount, isn't it? I mean, is a year the right amount for the cutoff to be?
Yeah.
So is someone getting a 10-month community service, say, and someone's getting 14 months in jail, like is that difference in punishment? That's quite a big difference. So if someone was going to get just under a year in jail, is it appropriate then that they get the same amount in community service, or should that be increased to match kind of what you consider like an appropriate punishment?
Well, yeah, that's so true.
I don't know enough about how the rehabilitation programs work in our prison system, but I assume that they are overstretched and ineffective as a result, because they've just got too many inmates to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, England and Wales have the highest rates of prisoners in the whole of Europe.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So I would suggest, maybe, but again, from a non-expert viewpoint, that if you've got someone who's received a 14-month jail sentence versus someone who's received 10 months community service, a person with a jail sentence, you change that to 14 months community service plus mandatory attendance at rehab centers and stuff like that. Not rehab centers for drugs, but like behavioral rehab centers. Whereas presumably the person with 10 months community service, that community service is all they need because their offense was... And their personal conduct in court. Because like I say, you get prisoners who may have like, you get hit-and-run drivers, and you get one person who's just completely torn up about it and says, I made a stupid mistake, I've killed a person. And the judge is like, well, you only need a year in jail because clearly it's going to have a massive psychological effect on you. And you get another person who's a hit-and-run driver and just like, I didn't do anything wrong.
Yes.
You know, they're completely unrepentant.
Yeah.
So that person gets 2 years because they clearly need longer time to realize what they've done. So, yeah, I think you're right. It has to be tailored to the individual, which I guess is a more complex thing of how do you decide what individuals deserve? Does every single convict need a psych evaluation or something? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, what's interesting about this article in particular is the focus on safety within prisons.
Mm.
So it's like they need to be reduced because of overcrowding.
Yes.
Because there's not enough funding for prisons. There's not enough money going into it. And as a UK taxpayer, Robin and Alex, what would you think about expanding the prison system to accommodate versus having these people potentially back on the streets, even if they are doing things like community service, sooner rather than later?
I am in favour of government spending, provided, of course, it is well-targeted spending.
Yeah, I agree, yeah. I think, yeah, well, if they just make new prisons, I don't think that's a good answer. I think they need to, like we've kind of said in this discussion, just have a rethink. I mean, I'm kind of on board with that idea, like maybe 6 months or less, just get rid of the prison sentences, have them do community service or that kind of thing. I'm kind of, for minor offences, not serious ones like murder and people who are just not unrepentant or like don't feel guilty about things that they've done. I think with those kind of people, there has to be a punishment element involved. But I think for a lot of prison sentences, yeah, there should just be rehabilitation and kind of get them back at working into the community, I guess. So I'd be in favor of like increased spending in prisons as long as, like you say, it goes towards the right kind of funding programs. Yeah. I don't know. What do you think, Martin?
Yeah, again, it's a really tough one. I think that there's the danger and the worry that it's almost a sliding scale. Like if it starts at 6 months for certain crimes, then when the prisons get more crowded, then, you know, government don't want to spend money on increasing the prison system. Fair enough. Then does it become a year? Then does it become 18 months, 2 years?
Yeah,
are we letting more and more serious crimes go as a result? But then the other half of me is like, prisons clearly not effective, especially for certain crimes. Like we've seen this, like with the war on drugs, it's like it clearly does not work just to lock people up.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And you look at the reoffending rates as well. It's like, it's a massive, massive problem. So it's a societal problem and it's a systemic problem as opposed to just one of resources and overcrowding.
Could you solve it by bringing back capital punishment? if they're not alive, they can't go to prison.
How about, I'm just saying, we take a page out of Olga's book and they're all trapped in there anyway. Get a few pigeons.
So why are all the prisons now building bathhouses? out of wood? What's going on?
Yeah, that probably wouldn't be the best solution.
So I'm back to my stat I said earlier. I've just brought this up because I thought it'd be interesting to let you guys know. But in England and Wales, the average life sentence of a prisoner, they serve around 15 years. That's on average.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you get a life sentence for, I don't know, for a murder, the average is 15 years.
Wow.
I mean, maybe for murder it's more because there are, of course, other crimes that carry a life sentence, but it tends to be murder.
I guess 15
years, is that enough time?
Yeah.
Off topic, but...
I wouldn't want to go to jail for 15 years.
I guess it kind of depends on... Oh, it sounds like I'm defending murderers now, but I guess it depends on the circumstances.
Yeah.
You know, if whether it's kind of not 100% sure whether it's murder or manslaughter, that kind of thing. I guess maybe.
Yeah. You get premeditated as well.
Yeah, premeditated or
crimes of passion or whatever you call it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Whether it's a particularly violent, whether they're unrepentant or whatever. I don't. Yeah.
Like if the victim of domestic abuse murdered her abuser.
Exactly.
His abuser.
It's kind of
you kind of like
adds a different spin to it, doesn't it?
I know someone who...
What?
What?
No, no.
What are you going to say?
Someone I know.
You're smiling.
It's a funny story. I know someone who murdered...
It's a funny story. No, no. I know someone who, our age, went to school, obviously, and had a really, really lovely headmaster. Mm. A really lovely guy. Everybody loved him. Everyone thought he was wonderful. Oh, dear.
Okay.
They went to uni. The person I know went to uni, graduated, everything. Normal life. A few years ago, went back to school to see what happened, and he wasn't there anymore. And
they had to cry then.
And they were like, I was about to laugh. It's terrible. But I was like, has he moved on? You know, has he gone to? Because he's a really lovely man. Everybody loved him. Gentlest, kindest man.
Always.
And they said, oh, what happened to him? They said, he murdered his wife.
Oh.
So, and it was like,
oh God.
Okay. So you know, he went to prison, but I think he was let out early, because. And everybody, including his own children, defended him because she was a bully and she just abused him all the time.
Well, this might have been on the news, you know.
I think it was a thing. Case. So yeah. he was such a soft-spirited man, like soft-hearted man, kind-hearted, that and she just completely took advantage of him and psychologically ground him down for decades. And one day, apparently, this what happened. Like he was behaving very normally, but just kind of pushed her down the stairs one day when she was having a go at him and killed her. But deliberately, with the intention of killing her. Like, I can't remember what he did, but like he'd done some stuff on the computer like to give himself an alibi. So clearly, clearly intended to do it. But at the same time, it was just unexpected. And it was weird because the funny part of the story that...
Just go back to school. And that is he?
Get a divorce. Just
Well, she wouldn't. She wouldn't.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, both parties have to agree, of course.
Yeah.
But apart from the fact that his children defended him, like everyone at the school, apparently my friend, everyone at the school was just like, we get it. Like, we'd have him back.
Wow.
You know?
I don't think he'll be let back.
No, no. But he just reminded me of that.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be, to be premeditated, a lot of people think it has to be like planned out, right? It doesn't. Premeditated can mean there's a provision. You make a provision even in the seconds leading up to it.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be anywhere near like...
Oh, right. Is it just like you've decided that you're going to kill this person?
Yes.
Mm. Even if it's seconds before?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So like
it's a misconception.
Going to a different room of the house and getting a gun out of the drawer is premeditated.
Yeah.
So would like non-premeditated be like... He just means...
Literally be seeing red,
like,
I guess.
He just wants to push her.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to kill her. And she then...
Well, that would be
manslaughter,
stairs. Wouldn't it?
So what's the distinction?
So I guess the difference would be... Martin knows better.
I guess the distinction would be... Well, him looking it up, of course. But but I know that in there have been cases where, like you say, someone's pulled out a weapon. And because they've got it from... Like they've gone across the kitchen to grab it and come back. That's classed as...
Premeditated.
Yeah.
But if you happen to be chopping vegetables and someone attacks you... And you defend yourself by stabbing them.
I'll have another look into it and let you guys know, because I don't want to bring misinformation, but I remember it being like it can be within seconds of the act happening as opposed to being like planned out for weeks or whatever.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that information, Martin. Yeah.
So anyway,
that was really interesting.
System. We talk about that for a while.
It's a thorny issue, isn't it? Yeah.
Mm. Mm. And this is just the UK. I mean,
yeah.
Around the world, it differs massively.
Yeah. Well, after that exciting and pretty dark discussion, would you like a quiz?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, right. So, welcome to the weekly quiz.
Sweet.
Unfortunately, I can't win this week. No. So,
thank God for that.
It's just down to you two. Can I hear your buzzers, Robin or Martin?
Oh.
What's that from, Robert?
It's from Gremlins.
Oh, okay.
The original. The only.
Martin. Yeah, baby, yeah! Nice. Bit of Austin Powers.
Yeah.
Who throws a shoe? Honestly.
So as always, there'll be 10 questions and a bonus question as well. So back to the original format.
Tiebreaker.
Cool.
Okay. Question one.
Ooh. Okay.
What superhero celebrated its 80th birthday this week? Oh, I think Robin was just in there.
I regret doing this now. Is it Batman?
It is Batman, yes.
Yeah. You knew that, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, baby, yeah.
Yeah, it was Batman. 80th birthday.
Happy birthday, Batman.
Yeah.
Looking good for his age.
Okay, question two.
Yep.
The owners of which sandwich shop chain recently admitted that their family had links to Nazis in the Second World War?
Oh, who is it? Is that the German...
Greg's?
No. Oh. Maybe sandwich... No, it's kind of it like is. A high street chain like that kind of thing, I guess. It's pretty big. Pretty big. They're everywhere.
Oh.
Pret a Manger.
It is Pret a Manger.
Oh no way!
Yeah.
Wow.
So that was so it recently, it came out that their family, I think it's the Reimanns, had strong ties to Nazi Germany. Like their family were strong supporters of Hitler, and they had French slaves in their factories, apparently. But apparently he's trying to make amends for it, and they're donating money to charity or something. But I guess it's one of those things where it's like so many families across the world.
The other thing is
Nazis, you can't avoid that.
Should ancestors of that? I mean, did they know about it?
Like,
surely, if you're creating a business, it's not something you're going to go. Mm. Oh, by the way, just for a disclaimer, we have connections.
Yeah.
You're just going to carry on with your life, aren't you?
I guess the question is whether their family though has still reaped the benefits of that, and whether the business.
I would say they have, right?
Quite possibly. Yeah.
They are where they are today because they had a successful business in the Second World War.
Yeah, true.
Even if it didn't have a massive impact,
yeah,
you know, they prospered and benefited from it. So. Yeah. Yeah, good that they're making events, I suppose.
And you don't see what's the who's the fashion designer?
Really,
Hugo Boss.
The fashion designer.
Hugo Boss.
Yeah.
Made the Gestapo.
Yeah, Gestapo outfits. You don't see him or them. Yeah. Just to say
true. Yeah, apologizing or whatever.
No.
Yeah.
Maybe they should. I don't know.
Maybe they should.
I'll never buy a brown shirt from him again.
Plus, they've just ruined the leather duster now, haven't they? They just ruined it completely.
Yeah.
Completely gone.
No one can have that now.
No. They ruined the skull and crossbones.
Are we the bad guys?
Are we the bad guys? Anyone who hasn't seen that, that's Peep Show. Are we the bad guys? Just look it up. Are we the bad guys? Peep Show.
Well, it's not Peep Show.
It's Mitchell and Webb.
Yeah. Look up Peep Show as well. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay, question three. So that's...
I must apologize.
One all,
yeah.
Question three. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is currently engulfed in a political scandal just months before an election. Can you tell me what the scandal is all about?
I can't remember.
Oh, guys.
I can't remember, yeah.
This is
old news. That's why it's old news.
It's old news, yeah.
Still ongoing. It was on the front page this morning.
It wasn't the front page of Canada Today? Or?
Possibly. Hmm. No, it's still ongoing. There were some big developments this morning.
Is it something to do with election spending?
No.
Okay.
I don't think that's
finances,
it.
Finances, all right. I can't remember.
What was it? I cannot remember for the life of me.
So
it wasn't that bad. All I can think of is that I saw someone, there was like a picture of some Justin Trudeau doppelganger that did not look like him at all. It was like a doppelganger?
Oh,
no.
Wow. I remember the whole thing
about...
It's
obviously not that.
I'll tell you that it involves... corruption.
Okay.
But yeah, this kind of goes without saying, doesn't it?
I guess so.
I don't really know how to give a clue with this one.
He knew about fraud within his party and didn't say anything about it. Trying to be as broad as possible.
Yeah, no, I'm not gonna accept that. One more guess each and then I'll tell you.
He bribed some people. He accepted bribes.
No. That's wrong.
It's just not...
He knew about his party accepting bribes.
No. Oh. No, okay, I'm not going to allow it.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a company called... I haven't written it down. It was like SNC something. And basically they were accused of bribing Libyan officials during the Gaddafi regime. To like get certain deals. And basically this company is facing prosecution over there in Canada.
Yeah.
And they've been lobbying to avoid being charged with anything and just to pay a fine or something.
Yeah.
And the Trudeau government's basically been pushing for them to cut a deal with this company instead of facing prosecution.
I see.
So it's a bit shady. I don't know if it's illegal. But it's something a bit shady.
Yeah.
And basically, yeah, this morning he expelled two of the Canadian MPs who basically whistleblew this.
Oh, really?
Oh, whoops. Oops. I'll say that bit again.
Yeah.
And basically this morning he expelled two MPs who, yeah, were whistleblowers in this whole case.
Oh, man.
But then a lot of people are suggesting maybe this is just, it's before an election.
Yeah, it's been
Are they trying to primary him, essentially, get rid of him before the election so they can install someone new to fight the election for him? Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, it's classic, not saying it's right, but this is classic centrist, neoliberal Western politician stuff.
Yeah.
Like this, it sounds exactly the kind of stuff that Tony Blair and David Cameron were involved in. It's, again, it doesn't make it right, but it's just something they do. They have all these kind of shady compromises which aren't illegal, and there's a good debate to be had about whether or not they should do it. But, you know, it looks dodgy, but is it dodgy? You know, it's...
Yeah, yeah.
Well, at the very least, you could say that it's potentially a conflict of interest.
Yeah.
With what the electorate wants.
Mm. Yeah. Exactly. Question four. So it's still one each, one all?
Yeah.
Question four. This was on the news I saw yesterday. Hmm. What have Harry and Meghan done recently that was important enough to make it onto the news?
You best tell me about this. They've created their own Instagram page.
They have indeed, Martin. They have indeed. So and the
very
world
modern.
And the world stopped.
Yeah.
Well, show feet.
I was saying yesterday, like, you think about, they must have two-step verification on that, for sure. like they must change the password every day. Imagine if someone hacked into that.
Man, that's true, yeah.
Well, that's the thing.
Crazy.
They've created, but I wonder if they've probably got an assistant whose job it is to do that. Yeah.
They wouldn't risk posting themselves on there.
Yeah
absolutely. That's mad, isn't it? Like, I didn't get a notification app for it, although I sometimes get notification apps for really stupid news stories.
Yeah.
During the wedding, I was getting updates daily about from the BBC app. It's mad. How is that news?
Yeah.
I was in Windsor when that happened.
Oh, really?
The crowds were in places.
Yeah, good story, Robin. Yeah.
That's great. No, there was they closed the roads so that people could walk through, but it was lots of people, but it wasn't like crazy. Like the news would have made it sound like it was millions of people, but it wasn't really.
Yeah.
But there was this one guy who was great. I told you before. My favorite moment of the day was people waving union flags all around, being all patriotically British. And on the corner, there was this Rasta guy selling Jamaican flags. just standing there. He wasn't even trying. He wasn't even yelling. He was just standing there waving them, a whole box full of them. I was just like, go
good,
you.
Good carry on. Yeah.
That's enterprising. That's good.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Question five, 2-1 to Martin.
Ah, no.
Why was NASA's historic all-female spacewalk called off recently? So they were going to have a historic all-female spacewalk. It was going to be for International Women's Day, I think.
Right, yes.
And they called it off.
Oof.
And why was it?
Spacewalk is in, like, literally they were going into space.
Yeah. Going out from the ISS.
Walking out into the abyss, the unknown.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they were doing a job. Yeah. Like they had a task to do.
Why is it called off?
For the sake of it.
Let's go for... Yeah, baby, yeah. Because of meteor showers.
That is incorrect.
One of them was sick.
That is also incorrect.
Hmm.
It's a very particular problem they were trying to, like, with this particular thing, why they couldn't have all the females astronauts go out at the same time. Any guesses?
This is a trap.
Any guesses?
No, I think.
You're just trying not to say anything sexist.
Yeah, horrendous. Yeah.
Even the way you phrased it was like, he's not quite saying it's a woman's problem, but he's kind of saying it.
No, it's NASA's problem.
NASA's problem. So they presumed they needed one of the women to be inside at the time?
Because if something went wrong, they wouldn't have any women astronauts left on the ISS.
To repopulate the ISS. That is incorrect. No,
I'm starved.
It's a... Shall I tell you?
Go ahead.
The spacesuits didn't fit.
Oh, okay.
They're all because they didn't have enough.
I was actually going to say that, but I thought that would be a sexist thing to say. Are they actually fitted? The spacesuits are fitted for gender.
Presumably, like,
I thought it was like a one size fits all.
I assumed it would be a one size fits all, but also, I guess, I don't know. I guess it's not something you can design as one size fits all. They have to have some different variants.
I guess, yeah, because you might have, I don't know about this, but one astronaut might be really tall and have long arms.
Exactly.
And then you can't go out in that suit because you can't really.
Yeah, the space suits. They didn't have enough spacesuits. That makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't make sense. They should just have more spacesuits, but it's. Okay. They should get that fixed. Okay.
But it was like last minute that it was called off. They just realized at the last minute.
Looked
in
the wardrobe.
We don't. I look terrible.
I'm surprised they didn't realize that beforehand.
Yeah.
So none of them went out.
Yeah.
I'm not actually sure whether the whole spacewalk was called off or if there was a
spacewalk last week. I think I watched some of it.
Maybe
that was the same one.
It probably
was.
There's
definitely a guy on it.
Yeah.
Because his name, he was speaking, and it was definitely a man's voice.
Okay.
Okay. Question six. So it's 2-1 to Martin still?
Yep.
Music legend Scott Walker died this week, but which of these techniques did he employ to produce sound effects for one track on his 2006 album, The Drift? Was it punching a dead pig, an evil Mickey Mouse impression, or throwing a drawer of cutlery from a rooftop?
Do we get an answer each?
Yeah, let's have an answer each.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go for throwing the cutlery.
Okay.
Mickey Mouse impression. It's quite specific.
I bet it's.
I'm gonna go for Mickey Mouse impression.
It was punching a dead pig.
Oh, he punched a dead pig.
It was his percussionist. Yeah, on the track. So the track was about. It was called Clara, and it's about Mussolini and his rise to power, or something.
There we go.
And his percussionist was punching a dead pig, and to make a sound effect.
Okay.
Inventive.
I'm going to listen to that after this and be underwhelmed.
At least it wasn't live.
Yeah, it's true. Oh. It's very true. Yeah.
Well, it's true.
It's true. The idea is so cruel.
So as we go on to question seven.
We're going on to three questions, Greg.
Go on to question seven. It's 2-1.
We had a two out of three choice of getting that one. Okay.
Okay.
Did he use it as a bass drum?
I'm not sure, to be honest.
Oh, dear.
Okay. Question seven.
Oh, dear.
A painting by Pablo Picasso has been found 20 years after it was stolen, but from where was it stolen?
20 years after it's stolen. Oh.
My Robin's
off.
I can't remember where it was, but wasn't this substituted with a fake? Was this that painting?
It's not the question, mate.
Possibly, but it's not a question.
Damn it. The Guggenheim.
Nope, that's incorrect.
Oh.
Picasso, where would Picasso be? Stolen. It's going to be somewhere famous. Let's go for the Louvre.
That is also incorrect. Oh. I'll tell you, it's not a museum that it was stolen from.
Someone's
think about someone who's like, it's the most lavish, expensive place you could probably imagine that you'd have a Picasso place, Picasso thing in. But it's not famous. It's not a famous place. It's more a general place, I guess.
Oh, okay. Well, now I'm most lavish place that isn't famous.
Well, it's just I mean,
it's a place. It's just a place, right? It's just a city kind of town.
Well, it's not like a city or town. It's more... so it's not owned by a museum. It's just owned by a rich person.
Okay.
But you've got to tell me where it was, where they kept this Pablo Picasso painting.
By a rich person. Who is rich?
But not famous.
Not famous, no.
But not... what?
Yeah, exactly. What is this?
What even is this?
Okay, what do rich people own?
Yeah, they own boats. It's from a yacht. It's from...
Do you want to buzz in?
Yeah. It was from a super yacht.
Yeah, well, it was a Saudi billionaire's yacht that had a Pablo Picasso painting in.
Do I get the point?
Oh, yeah. I'll allow it. You get that point. Yeah, you definitely do. 3-1.
We need to start having some points.
I mean, a Saudi yacht is quite specific, isn't
it? That was, I mean, I would have accepted yacht.
Thanks. I would have.
Sorry, that wasn't a very good question. Let's move on.
Let's move on.
No, the clues are bad.
Now we know.
We've learned.
Question 8. 3-1 to Martin. What happened to a plane destined for Dusseldorf this week?
I'm trying to...
Martin.
It didn't land in Dusseldorf. It landed in another airport. It landed in the UK instead.
Mm. In the UK instead. Okay, yeah, I'll allow it.
Was it Bristol?
No, it was Edinburgh.
I was about to say Edinburgh.
Okay.
I was waiting for you to finish. Okay. Never mind. No, I didn't. You said the answer first, so I can't prove it, but just for the record.
How about we have half a point each, because then I'll still win?
No, that's fine.
I would have accepted UK as well. It wasn't after the specific city, but maybe I should have been. And that's my bad. I'm sorry, Robin.
So what went wrong? Didn't they like the?
They had the wrong paperwork. Yeah. So it was a BA flight, and they had the wrong flight.
Oh,
path.
Yeah.
I don't get how that happens. To be
surely
honest,
surely that could be really dangerous.
Surely did any of the people on the plane say like, oh, I'm really excited to get to Dusseldorf or something? Like, the cabin crew not confused or anything? Yeah. Like, why people were...
Well, if it can happen at the Oscars, they get the wrong envelope.
They must have said it. They must have said it or something. Or just someone who's been on that flight before many times is like, we definitely go into the air and then we go west or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like...
No one was like, we're going the wrong way.
Yeah.
Anyway.
For the... That was Ryanair tweeted to take the mickey out of that, didn't they? And then they got slaughtered in the comments.
Yeah. Okay. Question 9. So that's...
Sorry.
I'll give you the point as well, Robin. It's 4-2.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Cool. This question's ridiculous. Question 9. This week, a lady was caught pleasuring herself on the underground. What was her excuse? And she failed to turn up. She failed to turn up to court for this.
Can I say something that will then cut out? No. Let's carry on. No, it's a joke. What was her excuse?
Yeah. She denied the fact that she was.
You'd think so, wouldn't you?
She homeless. She had nowhere else to go.
Nope, that's incorrect.
She had something down there that she was trying to get out.
That is also incorrect. No.
So
it's kind of closer towards Martin's than Robin's, I guess. It's more she was just like...
Yeah.
Looking for an excuse.
Yeah.
Sorry. No. All right. Well, I wasn't going to say anything, so...
You go for it. Have another guess. Have you had a guess yet?
Yeah, I said she was homeless.
Oh, yeah.
So her excuse for masturbating... On the tube.
She denied that she was masturbating.
She denied it. She was just...
Her excuse for doing whatever she was doing. Yeah.
Just scratching an itch.
Is that your guess?
Yeah.
That is correct. Yeah. Well, she was itching. She was itching a rash. I'll accept that.
I like that because it's like... It's a euphemism that works. Like just scratching that itch.
But according to witnesses, she'd splayed herself out on three different underground seats, and she was at it for about 10 minutes, moaning loudly. So
what?
So I don't think her alibi. And then she didn't show up to court. So it's now.
You wouldn't, would you?
The police are now searching for her.
I don't get that. Why? Do we know? Has she got any kind of mental health problems? Because why would an ordinary person do that in a public place?
Yeah, I'm not
you'd
sure, to be honest.
You
probably, that makes sense.
Well, thanks for that, Alex. What's the next question?
4-3.
Oh, yeah. Blimey.
Final question.
Oh, my God. This question's even more ridiculous.
I love it.
Go.
Do it.
It's actually kind of a dark question.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
We can deal with that.
Okay. Why was a man in Indonesia forced to show his in-laws his penis this week?
What is wrong with you? Go for it.
Oh, sorry. Okay. They thought he was a woman.
Yeah.
That is incorrect.
Oh.
Oh. Blimey. Why else?
Yeah.
The answer's darker than that. I'm kind of embarrassed by this question, actually.
Because they wanted to compare it to someone else's.
That is also incorrect. Again, gotta think darker.
Okay.
Because they thought he'd been castrated.
That's incorrect.
Good guess, though. That is dark.
That's good.
Yeah. It was darker than that.
Okay.
What is this?
Because they thought he might be an imposter because the other one died. The other person died.
That's incorrect. I'm just going to tell you.
Yeah.
Sorry in advance. So they accused him of killing his wife. Because they thought his penis was too big, so they thought he'd killed her
with his
penis.
Oh right, the penis was the murder weapon.
Yeah, so right. He had to show police and the in-laws his penis and show that it was normal sized and that she died of epilepsy, which she'd had since she was much younger.
You think they might go to that first? Epilepsy? Or...
I don't know where that accusation came from.
Blimey, that is real denial, isn't it?
Dark. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry about that question.
It's okay. It's okay. It is dark.
So it was,
that was really dark.
Sorry about that. Okay, so it's 4-3. So Martin
wins. Yeah. Well done, Martin.
Do you want to have the bonus? Do you want to have the bonus?
Yeah.
Let's go with the bonus question.
Bonus question.
Bonus question.
What have you got for us?
Bonus question's fine. Okay. Okay.
Why was a man's penis accused of being epileptic whilst masturbating on the underground?
Yeah.
Is the question. The answer is...
going to go to a different source next time for my questions. But that was all this week's news, so...
Yeah, good for you.
Okay. Bonus question. How many estimated subscribers does Netflix have worldwide? Ooh, closest blimey. Wins.
Oh, wait. 500 million.
No, not that many, surely. Actually, a billion, that's a ten. What? That's
500 million.
Actually, it's quite a lot, actually, isn't it?
It could be.
Did you say 500 million?
I did.
Okay.
I know they're expanding into like India, aren't they? Big market. Okay, so let's say the quarter of America does. I'm going to go for 350 million.
Okay, well, Martin wins. It's 150 million.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Which is an insane amount of money they're making every month. And
it is. Yeah. It is.
I realized after I said 500 million that you could work it out because didn't they just get, they got just over $2 billion in revenue in the first quarter.
Wow.
And if everyone's paying, what, $10 a month? Is that what it is?
£10.
Gross, though,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Maybe they obviously ship out a lot of cash on these Netflix originals.
Yeah, that's true.
I can't imagine they're actually making that much money at the moment, just because they're creating so much content.
Yeah, but if they're getting $2 billion in revenue every quarter, then that's $8 billion a year.
Yeah, no.
And if they're spending
$8 billion a year, yeah.
Yeah, that's huge.
A huge, I guess, I always wonder like where does the money come from that they can afford to just keep making these originals. But yeah, $8 billion a year.
I mean, this actually work out, like 150 million times whatever.
£10.
Does it change?
I guess it's
regionally
as well.
Yeah.
And then there's different rates, aren't there?
Yeah.
So,
it's on average, around $10, just under, probably. Yeah.
Which would be $1.5 billion, right?
Yeah, 150 million.
Yeah.
1.5 billion.
Yeah.
But that would be a month. So three.
Oh, crap.
So that'd be $6 billion.
Yeah.
A month. A quarter. Yeah, I don't know how that's worked out, but...
Yeah, maybe... Let's double check that. Maybe I understated the amount they grossed in the first quarter.
Mm.
That's huge.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's huge.
And no wonder the likes of Apple and Google are trying to get onto similar things for both streaming and games as well. It's obviously so lucrative, isn't it, at the moment?
I guess, when you put it like that, it's kind of like... Because, Comcast, was it? Comcast, who spent loads on that failed streaming service. And you're just like, oh, it's silly. Why would you spend $100 million on it? But if you could potentially make a billion a year from it, then at least, then it's crazy.
I remember when Netflix, when I joined, there was still the option to have CDs through,
DVDs
and stuff through the post.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Gosh.
The good old days. Back.
Quaint.
Yeah.
When they could only do 720p at best on the streaming.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. That was the quiz.
Thank you. That was
disgusting.
That was educational. That was, yeah.
Apologies for some of those questions. Don't know what I was thinking.
Don't apologize, just, Alex. You do know. You.
You're clearly in a rush. So looked up what you wanted to look up.
Someone woke up on the wrong side of bed this morning. But yeah, thank you all for listening. Thank you again to all of our Patreon supporters. You are wonderful people. And stick around for our Patreon exclusive podcast, which we will send to you all.
We'll be recording right now, right here.
Right now,
we'll be in the feed Friday, probably.
Probably, yeah.
Probably Friday, if not Saturday. Right. Probably Friday.
Cool.
Well, sweet. Bye for now.
See you later.
See you later.